talk about this, but many of you, you may know or you may not know, but the middle school doesn't leave this stuff set up. So each week there's a group of people that come and set stuff up, and then the worship team practices. Well, this morning, I just got to give our team credit. The soundboard wasn't working properly, and so that took a long time to figure out. And it wasn't until about 9:40 or so that our sound system was even working. And so I just want to thank Danny and the worship team for just putting all that together. You would have never noticed that. And for our tech folks for figuring out the problem, because literally nothing was coming through. So thank you guys so much for your hard work on that. I know we don't talk about that a lot, but that's a huge deal when you're setting up and tearing down each week for stuff to actually work. And today was one of those days where it didn't. And so we're glad that it finally did. And if I didn't say something, none of us would have ever known, which I think is just amazing and speaks to the depth and the quality of people. And they all had positive attitudes throughout the whole time. No one complained, which is awesome. So I want to jump into this series this morning on Rhythm of Life. We're going to start this five-week series. And so I want to start with this question of, have you ever gotten to the end of your day, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever time you go to bed, 10, 11, 12, and just ask yourself, like, as you've laid down, like, what the stink did I do today? Like, I feel like I was awake for a portion of the day, and yet I'm not quite sure. Like, I know I did some stuff, but I don't even know what it was any longer. I'm not sure what I actually accomplished this day. Have you ever just felt like that at the end of a day, the week, a year? Like, what happened? Like, where did all that time go? So I want to tell just a quick story. Back in 2008, I led my first youth missions trip to Mexico. And what we did is we flew from Baltimore down to McAllen, Texas, which is a city towards the southern side of Texas, right on the border. And then we rented a 15-passenger van and a minivan. And then we drove about 5.5 hours to a city called Ciudad Victoria, which means the city of Victoria in Spanish. We met there. We were ministering alongside of Mike and Laura Castle, who at that time were church planting missionaries in Mexico. They're now in Guatemala. Fantastic couple. And so what we were doing with our ministry there is throughout the week, in the morning, we were connecting with one church, and we were doing like a VBS kind of program for the kids there just to create some connection within the community for the church. And then the afternoon, we went to another church, which was a very new church in a little bit more remote part of the city. And there we were doing the same thing in the afternoon. So one of our first days, we split our teams in two. One went to this more established church in the city, and then I took a group in the 15-passenger van out to the outskirts. And what we were going to do is walk around door to door, hand out flyers, just tell people about what was happening, and invite them to come to this VBS. Well, it had rained a ton in the city just before. Before we had gotten there. And so when I got to the outskirts of the city, they didn't have what we call pavement. They didn't have that on the roads. And instead, they had dirt. And so me being a bullheaded dude, I was like, you know, that looks a little muddy, but this is a 15-passenger van. Like, I can make it. You know, like that whole thing, like, I can make it, famous last words. So we drive around, and we're trying to get to the church. Like, we have this purpose. We have this goal. And we go, and then it's like, the car is just like stuck. And it's like, then I did that boneheaded thing of like, zzz, 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 where you're just literally sinking the van deeper down into the quicksand that was there. So of course the teenage guys are like, we could push you out. You know, they all jump out, they start pushing. The girls are like freaking out, like crying, like, oh God, please save us. And they're like praying and interceding in the back. And I was like, can you guys like at least get out of the van so we can like push it a little bit lighter? I'm doing this thing. One kid starts having an asthma attack, and I'm like, what did I just get myself into? Like, I got a kid not breathing, guys that think they're stronger than they are, girls crying and praying, and like, that's great, but like, I don't know what's happening. I'm just sitting in the thing. Meanwhile, all the locals are beginning to look at us like, hey, there's the crazy gringos. And so, you know, we just keep doing this thing. Finally, like, we call the other team, where the missionary is with them, and also the doctor that was on the trip, because this kid couldn't breathe. And so, like, can you guys get here? Like, I'm stuck, and, like, we need to breathe, and people are praying, and it's wonderful, and all this stuff. So they come, and finally some of the locals come out, and they get us out, and there's, like, they put straw down, and I think we got stuck, like, 3 or 4 times, because the whole thing was just a mud pit. And I just kept saying the whole time, it's a rental, it's fine, it's a rental. as I just trashed the thing. But we got out of there. But my point is this, like sometimes I feel like we can kind of see where we want to go. We know that we want to do this thing or accomplish this in life or this day or this week. And so we're going there and it just feels like all of a sudden like just things get stuck or something comes up and you're like, I don't know what to do. And some of us try to like work with all our effort and we're trying to like push out our way out. Like some of us are just freaking out, not sure what to do next. And others of us like feel like we can't breathe. And it just feels like overwhelming in our scenario. And so oftentimes in life we feel this where it's like, I feel like I want to go here, but I feel stuck at the same time, right? And so like we can experience this at work. Like maybe there's like certain things that we want to accomplish or joy that we want to have in our work, and it just feels like we're stuck. Or maybe at home, like in our marriage or in our parenting or in our singleness, like whatever it may be, like we feel like I want to get to here, and it just feels like there's this thing that's kind of getting in the way. Like we feel it at the gym where it's like, man, I'm working so hard and yet I just gained weight on the treadmill. Like what? How does that even happen? And we feel it in our spiritual lives as well. Like, God, I want to get closer to you. I have the best intentions, but it just feels like I'm just stuck. Like I just don't know what to do next. And we can feel like we're not quite sure where to head next. And so here's the problem that I see just for many in life and in our world is that many of us have these values, these dreams, these hopes, and we see them out there, but we're not quite sure how to help them to become realized. Like we're not sure how to get from A to then B. And it almost feels like in life we're, instead of us like driving life or like kind of guiding and knowing like purposefully where we want to go, it feels like life is kind of driving us. We're just kind of reacting. Like we're Miss Daisy being driven around instead of, you know, in charge, like instead of knowing that we want to get to here and we know how to get to where we are. And so that kind of discrepancy can lead us to feeling frustration internally, can lead us to feeling anger and upset when it's like, man, I want this to work out this way and it's just not. It can lead to addiction where it's like, I just don't know what to do, so I'm just going to try to find ways to escape. It can lead to a sense of loss of purpose where maybe it's like, oh, I thought I was this, but it's obviously I'm stuck. It's not. There's no way I could ever get there. Because it can lead to like feelings of worthlessness, like, oh, I'm just a failure or whatever, disappointment, anxiety, on and on and on this can go. And so it almost feels like life then begins to feel like we're trapped by all these things clamoring for our attention or that are trying to direct us and guide us instead of us knowing where we want to go and knowing how God is leading us in our life. And we can see this in our work. We feel like maybe work is all of a sudden in charge instead of God. Or all of a sudden like our relationships or families or friends or those things are like dictating how we move and how we go. Or even just like the fear of missing out. Like that can sometimes direct us instead of knowing like I feel like God's calling me here, but I don't want to miss out on this, this, and this. And so we begin to put our energy on these things just because we're afraid of missing out instead of what's best for us. And that can trap us or our health, whatever. And it feels like sometimes in life there's just a road bump after road bump after road bump, or we just mud that kind of sticks us right where we're at. And we want to get things back on track, but something seems to knock us off, or we want to grow in our relationship with God, but it feels like, and I just feel like I don't know where to start or how to get going, or I had a good day, but now I've had three bad days, and I don't know what to do. And so the question I want to ask you now is to begin the process is like what is truly guiding your life? Like what is that what is really leading you? Is it God? Is it yourself? Is it maybe like someone else? And you just feel like trapped by other people's direction? Or is it maybe something else, like the pursuit of something, whether it's an addiction or maybe just an avoidance of pain or whatever those things are that begin to direct us? And so the question now then is what if we could intentionally take a step back in our life, examine our whole lives, examine every area of our life, strip it all down, and then allow God to build it back up so that we can follow his direction and leading and have a sense of purpose and intentionality that's directed by the Holy Spirit, by God, in our life. Eugene Peterson says a simple quote. He says, emptying is prelude to filling. I think that's so true. Like in order for us to be filled, in order for us to know where we're going, we have to be emptied and allow God to then fill that up. You know, so often in life, in order to build things correctly, we have to sometimes break it all down and like redo it so that it's stronger, more intentional, more focused, with a greater sense of purpose. I don't know if you've ever bought cheap furniture online. I have because I'm cheap. But you look at the picture online, it's like this beautiful thing, and so you order it on Target, and it's like, wow, it was 8 cents. That's a great deal. So they send you the box, and it's this huge piece of furniture, but the box is this thick because it's just everything's been in all these little pieces, and then you have all these steps, and you have to build it together. And if you miss a step, you have to break it back down and build it back up. If you cut corners or it's not going to be as strong, it's not going to be as purposeful as it was intended to be. So there's this book that Andy Stanley wrote several years ago called The Principle of the Path. And it's one of those books where there's a simple and yet really profound concept. And it probably could have been 100-word essay, but publishers 200-page books. So there's that. But he makes this point, and he begins to give some examples. And one example he gives, and I'll give a couple others that I added to, is he says, when people get married, when two people get married, no one is saying, I've never heard this. I've done several pre-marriage counseling. No one has ever said to me, you know what? I'm excited to get married, but I'd love to get the 7-year itch and cheat on my spouse in about 7 years. I feel like that would be a great marriage goal, right? And no one ever says that. No one, when they start a new job, is I would love to 15 years from now just be sitting at a desk with no real sense of purpose and be bored out of my mind and be hating going every single day. That's as I start my career, that's what I would love to be at in about 15 years. No one when they're young is I would like to have some kind of addiction that I feel trapped to. I'd like to develop that over time and really, really make that deep. No one when they start making money is what I'd like to do with this money? I'd love to spend it all and then spend more so that I can get in deep credit card debt. That sounds really fun. No one, when they're young is when I get older, I would love to be just overweight and maybe a little out of shape, tired. That sounds great. When they have kids is I'd love to, these formative years, I would just love to miss them all. And maybe we'll reconnect later in life. No one enters into a relationship with Christ and is what? I think we're just going to stop with this here. This was a great moment. But what happens so often, no one says those things, but what happens so many people's lives? Marriages end in divorce, jobs become meaningless or feel meaningless and endless. People do endure addiction and struggle with that. People deal with debt and feeling overwhelmed by that. People feel just physically tired, out of shape, not sure where to begin. We always think wow, my kids, all of a sudden they grew up so fast. Where did the years go? We grow stale spiritually, whatever those things are. And so what his point is, and what I'm making here today, is that we'll have these great intentions in life, to have a healthy marriage, a meaningful work life, a growing spirituality with God. We'll have all these intentions to live better, to do more, to accomplish these things. But then oftentimes it doesn't seem to land that way, right? And sometimes there's different factors to that. But what his point is, it's our direction. Or what I'll use for our terms here today, it's our rhythm of life. It's developing this rhythm of life, not our intentions, that will determine our destination or where we end up. So we can have the greatest intentions in the world to end up here, but if our direction is not headed that way, if our direction is actually going this way, or if our rhythm of life is actually headed this way instead of this way to the place where we want to get to, we're going to oftentimes end up at a place we wouldn't like to. So this is really what this series is about. It's a series about taking just a step back from our lives and to look critically, intentionally at so many things in our life, to allow God to bring healing, to allow God to bring direction, and then to bring it back up, to build it back up, and then to create this rhythm of life that we can follow in our lives so we can become who God has created us to be. And that's really the goal for us, and to become more like Christ. So what is a rhythm of life, you might be sitting there asking. Here's the definition from the book Stephen Machia wrote. He says, a rhythm of life is just, it's a set of guidelines that support or enable us to do the things we want and need to do. So a rhythm of life then allows us to clarify our deepest values, our most important relationships, our most authentic hopes and dreams, our most meaningful work, our highest priorities. And then it allows us to live with intention and purpose in the present moment. I think we all would say that we want to be like that. Like we want to live with that kind of intentionality in the present moment. Whether that's being intentional to rest right now, whether it's being intentional to go after a goal, whether it's being intentional to be disciplined in this moment from time to time. Like we want that in our life. I think we hunger that. We need that. And I want to make this point too. Like this all is not like some kind of self-help thing. For me, this is a very spiritual process, a very spiritual thing. Because our spiritual lives, like our connection with God, impacts our whole life. We cannot separate the two. And so to create this rhythm of life, it's really an exercise of listening to the Lord, seeing as he's guiding us, as he's leading us, what he called us to do, and then humbly responding to him to follow through with it. So it's a very spiritual exercise that we're looking at. Because for me, I can't separate my spiritual life. I can't separate my relation with God from other aspects of my life. Everything is so intertwined and connected. So I want to explain this a little bit further. Oftentimes, when people ask us, how are you doing today? How are you doing? How are you feeling? We respond with what I would call like these outward indicators, right? So in other words, how we evaluate our lives, we would respond things like, well, I'm feeling healthy, or I'm doing well financially, or there's a lack of chaos, or the opposite of all those things. Or how we're reaching our goals, or hitting these markers, or how our kids are doing, all these different things. Like these external things are oftentimes how we respond to that question of how you really doing. But oftentimes, those things that may culturally prove that we're doing well do little to reveal with how we're actually doing on the inside, and how our soul, how our spirit, how our inner life is doing. And so often, even if there's things going well on the outside, we could be hurting, feel out of control, feel confused, feel aimless, on and on. At the same time, if things on the outside world are going chaotic, we could actually be feeling secure, peaceful, restful inside, and on and on. Do you see what I'm saying? So Judah Smith, in his book, How's Your Soul, he says this. He says, when it comes to the human soul, I don't think any of us can claim to have everything figured out. More than 2,500 years ago, the prophet Jeremiah gave the ancient nation of Israel a message from God. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And then the next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. So in other words, we can't always figure ourselves out, but God can. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And that's my hope for this series as we study this. On Sunday mornings, we look at some big picture concepts. And then also, for those of you that do the small group, and I hope it's all of you who do this corresponding book study February through April, that God would be the one that examines your heart. So you allow him to do that. He would bring this out. That we would take time at the beginning of this year, 2018, and allow God to be the one to examine our hearts and our lives. I want us to allow God to examine our roles, our gifts, our desires, our vision, our mission. And then, as he leads, form priorities around our time, our relationships, our physical body, our finances, and mission. All of these things are so interconnected. If you think about it, you'll see how interconnected and intertwined they are, that we cannot set a healthy rhythm for our lives without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We cannot separate the spiritual from our lives. Everything in our lives is spiritual. So I want to look at the Apostle Paul, Romans 12. It's from the Message. He says this. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want God to help you. I want you to take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Because embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you could do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. I think that's a really, really important warning from Paul for us. He says, instead, though, fix your attention on God, because you'll be changed from the inside out as you do that. Readily recognize what God wants from you, and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Do you see how connected this is to God and our relationship with him and our submission to him? Stephen Machia says, fix your attention on God, and then you'll be changed from the inside out, because God is the one who brings the best out of you. And that's a truth worth pursuing with our whole hearts. And that's the truth that we're going after here on Sundays, here in these groups, here as a church over this next period of time. So let me summarize. I think many of us would agree or identify with feeling like our lives are out of balance, out of whack, stuck, something like we would like to see a change made, whatever that may be. You know, I think for many, we end up just going about our days and we're trying to figure out how to live. And we get to the end of the day, it's like, I'm not sure what even just happened. You know, perhaps even in our spiritual lives, we'll seek God here and there. And we love God, but we haven't really made him Lord of our lives. Like, we haven't really submitted to him and allowed him to direct and guide our lives. Because the truth is, I think there's a lot of people that love God but haven't made him Lord. And that's a big difference. And so we'll try to fit God into our lives instead of allowing God to be the one that reveals life to us and gives us full life. Because the reality is, God is the only one who truly, truly knows us. God is the only one that truly knows how we've been created because he has created us. And who would know us better than our Creator? God is the only one who knows what our past situation has been. Both good things, difficult things, perhaps things that have happened that you're not even aware of that happened, but yet there's something in you that's responding to it. God is the only one that knows that. God is the only one that knows what our current situation fully is right now, how and why we're responding to things the way we are. God is the only one that knows what our future and our situation will be and how to prepare us for what's coming. He knows it all better than anyone, better than us. He's the one that has given us our talents, our minds, our ability to think, our ability to process, our personalities, those very things. He's the one that's given us all of our resources, not us. He's the one that's given us our relationships, all these things, these people that we have. This church community is a gift from God. He's the one that has loved us more than anyone else could ever love us. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. I hope that he's your Lord. And he wants to bring the best out of you. He wants to bring that best out of you more than anyone else, including yourself, wants to. So, why wouldn't we seek God to develop this rhythm of life, to set us on a trajectory where we can become who he's created us to be, become more like him, and follow through with the calling and the mission and the passions that he has given us and placed in our heart? So, this morning, then, how do we do this? There's two simple things that I think could have a profound impact on your life that I want to encourage you with for this week to really practice and incorporate. They're two words, simply listening and humility. So first, listen to how God is directing you. And then two, have the humility to trust what he says and follow through with it. I think oftentimes we'll sometimes listen, but we don't have the humility to trust and follow through. We want to do things our way. Other times we may have the humility, but we don't take the time and space to listen intentionally to God. And so we end up not doing that. So listen, create space, fix your attention, fix your gaze on the Lord, and then humble yourself enough to follow through with it. So Jesus had this incredible ability to balance attentiveness to the Father, with God the Father, and yet live his life on mission. It was incredible. He would spend time away in prayer, in deep prayer, and yet at the same time, he did this incredible ministry and reached and touched so many lives and started a whole movement that we're now a part of. And I think this is the example that we seek to follow, and I think so often in life, we can become maybe so task-oriented that we don't take the time and the space to become fully developed and to allow God to set this rhythm of life. I think sometimes we want to figure it out right away. We want to do the easy way. We don't want to take the time to listen and allow God to direct it. But like many things in life, when we rush through it, we get really shoddy work. Like, we've all seen that, right? Things that take time to develop are beautiful. They're creative. They're wonderful. They're as they should be. I mean, I like to think of the way Michelle and I do artwork. There's a picture up here. I'll let you figure out whose is whose. So Michelle's on the we were like doing like journaling one day, and my guy is very happy, and it was very efficient artwork. It took me like no time. Michelle took her time, created something. And this is just in general. And at the end of it, as she's taken time, paid attention to the detail, looked at all these things, added color where it needs to be, something beautiful comes out of it. Whereas when I do it quickly, it's like a little stick figure that looks like a 2-year-old drew it, and it's not even that good of a stick figure. But so why do we want to then do the stick figure with our lives, right? Like, why would we just want to rush? Why wouldn't we want to take the time to sit and listen, connect with God, and allow him to direct our rhythm of life? And this is why we're going to take our time and walk through a book, walk through this series, and do this so that God can bring the best out of us, bring out who we've been created to be, who he is. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some really important stuff. Next week, we're going to look at discovering who we are. Like, who are you? How has God created you? How is that unique and beautiful and wonderful? And we're going to look at developing our priorities. How do we set priorities that follow through where our lives actually are directed towards this rhythm of life that we're at, that we're looking at? Then we're going to look at using our resources, these things that God has given us. How do we use them to best bless others, to step into our mission, to encourage others in their faith? And then the last week, we're just going to look at how do we create and then sustain this rhythm of life? Because it's not just about creating, it's then living it, living now, right? So for this next week, I have a simple challenge for you that I think could be really, really impactful for your life. I want you to focus on those two words, listening and humility. So first, listen. So in Matthew 7, Jesus says, in 24 through 27, he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So listen, listen and follow the voice of God. Listen through his word and through his scripture as you read the Bible. Listen through prayer as you pray with him or others pray for you. Listen to Christian community as you gather around others and support and encourage one another. All of this, doing this will allow us to help build this rhythm of life on a solid rock, on a strong foundation. And we'll develop this rhythm of life in a way that will withstand trials and difficulties and ups and downs of life. We won't sway because we'll have a strong, solid foundation that's been directed and given to us by God that we seek to follow. And our rhythm of life will then be something that God has created that gives us firm footing. So my practical challenge for you this week, and maybe you want to write it down or put it in your calendar, but create space to listen to God. So maybe that's waking up 30 minutes early before the house gets crazy or before you have to run off to work. Maybe that means going to bed earlier so that you can get up earlier. Maybe it means doing this at night or over your lunch break or something like that. But create space to listen to God and then simply write down what he says to you. Write it down. I think it's really important to be able to see it. I know oftentimes when we do this, and there might be some of you, or many of you, if this is a new exercise for you, you can be left with, well, I'm not sure what's happening. Is this me? Like, is this my head? Is it God? Like, how do I decipher? How do I determine this? And this is why I think writing it down is really significant. Because I do think as you step back and you look, you'll be able to tell whether that was something God was guiding, whether it was something that you were. For example, and this is a stupid, like, big example, but like if you're sitting there in your prayer time and you feel like, you know, I feel like I should cheat on my spouse, like that's not from God, right? That's not consistent with his character. It's not consistent with his word. And that's why studying scripture is so important, because we get to understand who he is as we study it, and we'll be able to more readily understand and hear his voice through it. So it's something like that. Like, that's not, it has to line up with scripture. But if it's something like, you know, I want you to spend more time serving the broken, or I want you to be less selfish, or I want you to lower yourself and serve your spouse in this way. I know you really want to do that thing, but right now, it's not about you, it's about your, you know. If it's something like that, it's probably from the Lord. If it's something like, you know what, you're not good enough, like that's a lie. That's not, God would never speak something like that to us. But if it's, you're my special child, I love you, and I want you to know how much I love you, that's the voice of God. Do you understand? I know I don't have time to dive into this real, real thick, but hopefully you can kind of see a picture here. Write it down. And then the other thing is, like, we all need to practice this, and none of us are experts on it, right? So there's oftentimes where we all write something down like that, and it's like, I'm just not sure. And so I'll talk to Michelle. I'll talk to some friends. I'll talk to Pastor Lane from McBick, like a spiritual mentor. I'll be like, this is what I kind of feel like I heard or sensed during this prayer time. Like, does it like, what do you think? And I'll ask for that. I'll lean on others. This one, we're not on this alone. Like, we're in this together. And so we can lean on. Don't ever be embarrassed to ask a question. We've all been there. right? None of us is doing this perfectly. So let's learn from one another. Let's share together. And so hopefully I can lower the anxiety level of doing this if this is something new for you. I just encourage you to step in. Talk to people. Talk to me. Email me if you have a question about it. But just see what God says. Rest in his presence. And then second thing is to step out in humility. And I want you just to pray a prayer daily of humility. God, I want to follow you. God, I want to surrender to you. I want it to be less of me, and I want it to be more of you. Intentionally pray prayers like this. John the Baptist in John 3:30 said, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Pray that every single day. God, more of you, less of me. Just pray humble prayers like that. In Proverbs 11:2, it says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Wisdom comes from humbling ourselves, allowing us to respond to God, receiving his wisdom, not trusting in our own. And then Psalms 25:9 says, he leads the humble in what's right. All right, so if we're going to follow through and create this rhythm of life and a direction and a set of priorities for our life, if we're humble and allow him to do it, he's going to guide us in what's right. And he teaches the humble his way. And that's what we want. We want to follow his way in this. I think lack of humility is one of the things that can get in the way so often in our lives. And I think oftentimes, sometimes we think that we're humble, but we're actually, maybe not, we're actually doing a little bit more our ways. And so we need to really continually pray that. We need to continually pray. Because when we think that our way is better than the Lord's, that's pride instead of humility. It's when we think that we can determine our rhythm of life instead of submitting to him and allowing him to pull the best out of us. Because remember, it's God. God is the only one that can pull that best out of us. So for next week, this next week, and I would encourage you to continue it beyond the next week. But this is my encouragement. Potentially carve out space. Put it in your calendar if you need to. Listen. Pray humble prayers. And just submit to the Lord. Just do that every day for the week. See where you end up. Small, simple things like we talked about last week that could have tremendous impact down the line if they're lived out. And this is a step that needs to happen before we develop a rhythm of life. If we want to actually do this, we've got to practice how do we listen to the Lord, how to respond in humility. We've got to start here. That's what's going to set this foundation for us as we walk through this over the next several weeks. I'm going to have the worship team come on up now. And what I want you to do, they're going to sing a song. I want you just to stay seated during this first song, and then Danny will invite us to stand and worship together after that. But I want you just to sit and just listen. Listen to God. Maybe there's a lyric that really sticks out to you. Maybe you want to open up your scripture, and there's something there that God is directing you to. Maybe you just need to pray a humble prayer throughout this process, throughout this time. And if you're unsure, the prayer team is going to be available. I would just encourage you to go and pray with them and even just say, like, I'm not sure. Would you help me? And they're going to be glad to do that. So I'd like you to bow your head. Well, you can actually read this on the screen. I'm going to put this on our Facebook page for you this week. I encourage you to copy it. But this is a prayer I wrote for us to pray throughout this week, and I want to pray it now. I'm going to read it slow so that you can kind of, so you can just make it this prayer your own as we go through this. So if you want to just look at the screen in a prayerful state, prayerful way, I want to pray this. Say, God, I recognize you as Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving me passions, a purpose, and a calling. Thank you for the gifts that you have given me and for the relationships that you have blessed me with. Lord, free me from my fears, insecurities, and pride. Fill me instead with love, grace, and trust. May my life be a reflection in this world of who you are. So God, I seek to hear your voice for direction and discernment, and allow me to hear you clearly. Help me to know when it's you speaking to me. I desire to commit myself to your ways above my own. I desire to respond to your leading with humility and obedience, And I trust in you, God, for you're good and you are love. You bring out the best me. And I give myself to you, to your wisdom, and your direction now. May you continue to reveal more of who you are and more of who I am as I develop a rhythm of life that's directed by you. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. God, we thank you so much for placing these things within us, for uniquely creating all of us and then calling us together in community. Lord, I want to pray now for anyone who might be unsure or anxious about even the thought of just sitting and listening to you. I pray that they would just be able to rest with you, trust you, that you would meet them in their own way in that time. Lord, I pray that throughout this week you would remind us to carve out space, to be intentional, to listen, to pray humble prayers. Lord, maybe we need to sacrifice something, and I pray that you would help us to do that so that we can have something greater, and that's communion with you. Lord, I just pray over this group. I pray a prayer of freedom. I pray that they would know how much you love them. And Lord, if anybody is here beating themselves up because they feel like they've been stuck, may they know that they don't need to carry that. Lord, that you love them, that you want to meet them where they are, that you want to speak to them, and you want to just walk side by side with them and help them to get unstuck, to get back on track, to continue to pursue the mission, the focus that you have for them. So we just pray specifically against the lie of the enemy to beat anybody up or to tear anybody down for past things that have happened. Lord, there's so much freedom in you and in relationship with you. I pray that we'd experience that and receive that now. Lord, thank you for your wonderful love, for your unconditional love. And Lord, may we respond to that love through listening, through humbling ourselves, and responding to you. So speak to us now in your name. Amen.